Thank you very much, Pete, for leading us thus far. And I hope that already we've got that sense that this morning it's all about Jesus. And it's about what he did for us as he died. And we're going to celebrate that together in not too long a time. Now this morning, the focus of our time together is going to be reading God's word. And we're looking at Romans at the moment. And today I'm using the New International Version, not my Message, which I've been using the last few times. So if you've got that with you today, do open it up to Romans. If you've got an electronic device, by all means use that. If you've got neither but would like that, John's at the back equipped, ready to put a Bible in your hands if you'd like to. So wave at him or go for a wander and do find yourself a copy of God's word, for that's what we're sharing together today. Let me just dial up Romans myself. So I don't know whether this is your most exciting time of the year, Strictly Come Dancing. The title I was given was Learn to Dance with the Spirit. But if you were hoping I was going to talk about Strictly this morning, I'm afraid this is the last reference you're going to get to it. But I would like your help with this. So what does this picture show? It's not a trick question. Double yellow lines, I've heard. Yes, good. What does it mean? Sorry? No parking. Don't park there. Thank you. Now, why would I put this up? Well, I found this a useful illustration that was shared with me a good number of years ago about what God's law, the law given to Moses, is a bit like. Because the law given to Moses sort of says things, doesn't it, like, do not covet, do not murder, do not lie. And it's kind of like those double yellow lines that say, don't park here. So help me with this one when it chooses to come up. I think we're back with you, Neil. Thank you. So what does this one mean? Or what is it? Tell me what it is first so I can check that you can see it well. Double red lines. Excellent. So what does double red lines mean? That's right. Really, really don't park here. Now, when I was a young child, double red lines did not exist. And fortunately in Worcestershire, they probably still don't much. Maybe up in Birmingham. But this to me highlights what Jean was telling us a bit about last week, that when the law is there and we see the double yellow lines, we think, oh, maybe that's a good place to park. Maybe, and this happens up at my children's school, this is a great place to drop the kids off because it's just right close to where I want to drop them. And so then we created double red lines that says, really, really don't park here. And I bet people still do. So why do I share this with you? The law, as Jean was telling us about from Romans 7 last week, does a certain amount for us. Neil, if you can go on to the next slide, I'm going to put the clicker down because it's not working. Thank you. So I think it's probably still the same. It was quite a long time ago for me now. But when I was 16, you'd get, as a 16-year-old, excited about learning to drive. And you would get the highway code and you would learn the rules of the road. The laws, as it were, that tell you about driving. And that's great. And for me, that was good because I'm quite good at learning things from a book. And so I thought, great, I know the highway code, so surely I can drive. But you may well remember, as I found, if we go on to the next slide, Neil, that actually driving is something rather different. You cannot learn how to drive by learning the highway code. I did learn to drive. It took a patient and encouraging instructor to help me to learn how to drive in a vehicle that had two sets of controls, one for me and one for him. And over time and with encouragement and with him saying, I still remember it, when you're driving your Maserati, I still don't know what one of those is, you'll look back on this and you'll wonder how you ever couldn't drive. But at the time, I found it really difficult to learn how to drive. I knew the highway code, I knew the law, but I didn't know how to drive. I had to be taught, and I needed someone alongside me. And really, that's going to encapsulate what we're learning this morning, that what we need is the Holy Spirit within us to be our guide, to be our counselor, to teach us how to actually live so that we can go ahead and live out the Christian life with joy. So let's go on to the next slide. So that's where we're going. Last week, thank you, Jean. I was really inspired by Jean's message last week, and she talked about how some people see Romans as something like a cathedral with different parts in it. And last week we were looking at this Romans 7, and it was described as being a bit like the crypt, that kind of dark and dusty and sort of slightly death-filled place where you might feel a bit nervous with some of the concepts in Romans that are a bit harder to grapple with, perhaps, some of the harder things. And Paul said, the good I want to do, I do not do, even though I know I want to do it. And we looked at that last week. And do, if you get the opportunity, if you weren't here, listen online to what Jean was teaching us from Romans 7. Because it kind of leads into today. I did say to her last week, maybe I thought if you weren't here last week, I'd send you away at this point to go and listen to it and then listen online. But I won't do that because we're not very numerous this morning anyway. So that was last week in Romans 7. And if we can go on this week, we're looking at Romans 8 and the first part of it. And this was described as being a bit more like the spire of the cathedral. We're getting into some of those wonderful high notes of what Romans tells us. And we're going to explore that a bit more this morning. Now tomorrow, when I go to work, we were just talking, weren't we, about living it out tomorrow. Tomorrow evening, our accountant is coming to speak to us at work. He's coming to talk us through our accounts for the last year. And when the accountant comes, he always produces beautiful presentations. They're normally about 10 pages long. And generally, he starts off saying, okay, I'm going to begin by having you turn to page 8. We kind of look a bit blank. He doesn't start at the beginning, but he starts on about page 8. And I'm also going to start halfway through the passage this week. And that's because I think Paul, as he wrote, he gets excited sometimes about his conclusions, and he almost puts them first. And then he kind of puts some of the body of what he wants to talk about next. So we're going to start, if we go on to the next slide, Neil, reading Romans. And we're going to look, starting at Romans 8. And verse 5. Can we have the next slide up, Neil? Is it working? Technology can't keep up today, clearly. Ah, there we go. As I read through this, I want you to have in mind that it kind of splits into two parts. Paul's bringing out a contrast for us. He's contrasting life, or living by the sinful nature, and living by the Spirit. And so as we read these verses, you'll see he keeps kind of flip-flopping between those two things, saying, look, if you're in this camp, here's what you've got to expect. If you're in the other camp, here's what you've got to expect. So that's what I want you to be mindful of and notice as we read this part of Romans together just now. Romans 8, beginning at chapter 5. Those who live according to the sinful nature, have their minds set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you'll die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit of adoption. And by him we cry, Daddy, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. And so I hope you spotted there that Paul has set up for us that there are these two distinct ways. There's life by the sinful nature, life as we knew it before, life as almost the default option. But there's life in another way. There's life that has the Spirit of Jesus, the Spirit of God, living within us and making us whole and making things different, both now and in the future, as he raises our mortal bodies in that glorious way that he did with Jesus. And just as Pete said, we all have a choice. We have this wonderful choice to take up the Spirit of adoption and become children of God, heirs and co-heirs. Friends, do you want to be rich? Become an heir of God and be rich in spirit. But how do we get there? We haven't covered the whole passage, have we? We've missed out this first bit of Romans. And Neil, if you'll click onto the next slide. Thank you. We're going to just read then at the beginning and the little bit that I missed out at the end as well, which if you're astute, you will have noticed. In my Bible, it's over the page. It looks like I've just missed that last phrase. But we've got it coming. And here's what Paul writes as he almost concludes about this comparison of these two natures. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law, those double yellow lines, was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did, by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in sinful man, in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. If you can click on to the next bit of the slide, Neil, if it'll work. Did you hear those key words? Those key words in the middle of that section. The key part here, for what it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did. Friends, this is the beauty and joy of this passage, that it's not about what we can do to move from that sinful nature into that life by the Spirit. It's about what God did. For God knew we had a problem, and he knew we couldn't solve it ourselves. And so what did he do? He sent his own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. That wonderful, wonderful offer of rescue through Jesus Christ and his death on the cross and his resurrection to new life. But there's something more here as well. And that's that as we read down, there's some parts where we need to cooperate. Yes, God did it. Yes, it's by faith. Yes, it's by grace alone. But Paul just sounds a few little notes to remind us, doesn't he? So then we look at, in verse 13, he says, "For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if, by the Spirit, you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live." And then right at the end of 17, that wonderful verse, "Now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory." Friends, don't miss those little notes that Paul sounds for us here to say, you know, there's still responsibility. You still need to cooperate with the Spirit and allow the Spirit to work in you, to put to death the misdeeds, to move away from that sinful life. We've heard, haven't we, in the earlier chapters of Romans, should we therefore go on singing? By no means, says Paul, should we go on sinning. We've moved away from that life. We've moved away from that country. I'm desperately sad that we're losing Ben and Kirsty, but by no means should they be still worshipping with us if they're living over there. We've moved away from that country. And we need to be in a new place, put to death the misdeeds, and to share in his sufferings. There is much joy in this chapter. But in that list that we've looked at there, it does not say that life by the Spirit is an easy life. It doesn't necessarily say that it's a happy life. It certainly doesn't say that it's a life where you won't have sleepless nights. If we share in his sufferings, then we will also share in his glory. And if you need more persuading about that, look at Paul's life himself. Read a few chapters of Acts. See what Paul's life was like. Lots of struggle. And yet he still writes, "Friends, grasp hold of life by the Spirit, the only true life, the life that will really fulfill and lead you into the ultimate life that comes through Jesus." We can have the next slide up, Neil. As we look through Romans, you'll have heard me make references to the parts that go before, and it's very much a book where Paul is sort of arguing his case, building things up week by week, and that's why it's so great if you can hear as many of the messages as possible and use that resource that we have online. I was struck as I read through Romans 7 again, preparing for today, about this part here where it talks, this is from verse 5 in Romans 7. "So, my brothers, you also died to the law through the body of Christ, that you might belong to another, to him who was raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit to God. For when we were controlled by the sinful nature, the sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in our bodies, so that we bore fruit for death. But now, by dying to what once bound us, we've been released from the law, so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit, and not in the old way." Now, whenever I read that word fruit in the Spirit, it puts in my head the fruit of the Spirit. And that's what we've got listed here on the screen, that list from Galatians: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And if this morning you're here saying to me, yes, look, I'm in the Spirit. Yep, I'm signed up. I'm living with God's Spirit within me. And friends, the challenge is laid down to us here, isn't it? How do we show that? What does it mean? What's the goal of our lives? The goal is to produce fruit. Fruit for God. And here we are, the fruits of the Spirit. These characteristics which should become more and more evident in your life as you seek to be controlled by the Spirit. I've said before, it's a bit like a measuring stick. It's a way of looking at them, and I'm drawn back to them when I think, how's it all going? Am I seeing more of these things developing in my life or not? Maybe at different points in your journey, different ones of those will mean more important things to you. Recently, I've been struck by the word kindness. It seems to have been on the radio more. People have been talking about it more, and I've been wondering how I display kindness in my life. For you, it might be a different one. But friends, life by the Spirit, it changes us. It should change those around us. And it should make a difference. Neil, if you could go on to the next slide. So, Romans. There's all sorts of high notes, all sorts of drum rolls as we read through it. And on the screen here, I've put a few of them. I was thinking of them as my Coda Color Gold moments. And then I thought, oh dear, that really ages me. Because when I was young, you didn't take pictures with your mobile phone. You took them on a camera, and you then took your film and got it developed. And sometimes when you went to a zoo, there would be a special little camera icon on the fence suggesting that this was a really good place to take an excellent picture. And then they got sponsored, and they were called Coda Color Gold spots, sponsored by Kodak. And this is something of what I think of as I read through Romans. I think, wow, that's one of those verses that stands out, one of those big verses. It's a drum roll. It's a photo moment as we read them. And they're in there for us to pick up and be nourished by and to remind us as we come around the communion table that Paul's been leading us in that direction, just as this service and the songs we've sung have led us in that direction too. That it's all about Jesus. It's all about what he's done for us. What God did in putting together our rescue. If we go on to the next slide, Neil. As we come towards communion, and in just a moment we'll meet around the table, I want to remind us what we're doing as we come to communion. What thoughts are going through our heads as we share this bread and this juice in this act that may be very familiar to most of us, maybe unusual to others? What are we doing? Well, look, particularly we're looking back and we're remembering Jesus' sacrifice. But we're also looking up and considering our relationship with him, the living God. And we're looking around to our companions on the journey together. That's why we share fellowship prayers around the table. And friends, we're looking forward. We're looking forward to his coming again, to a new heaven and a new earth, when we are recreated by the power of God and made whole again. Now, as we come to communion, all are welcome to join in this simple meal that we're having together. We invite you on the basis that you would like to be filled with the Spirit, and you would like to choose to live God's way. And that being the case, you're welcome to share with us. If that's not for you at the moment and you don't know where you're up to, just let it pass by. There's no embarrassment in that at all as the servers come to you. But we're going to share together in that way just now.